Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care podcast. This is our very successful Tuesday flagship show. I'm always excited to be with you on Tuesday to help you start your week. Today, my guest is Tricia Nelson. We are going to talk today about emotional eating. This is a subject that I think really resonates with a lot of people. But having said that, I feel like there's a lot of people talking about it out there today, but not a lot of like really helpful go-to strategies for like how to work with it. And so for those of you that struggle with eating, that you feel like you eat your emotions, you feel like this is really what keeps you on the hamster wheel and keeps you stuck, this episode is definitely going to be for you. Thanks for joining me today.
It is so my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Allison.
Fantastic. So before we get into all of that, tell my audience a little bit about you.
I'm going to start with the down and dirty.
That's fine. Everyone's got a story.
Yeah. I was an emotional eater from the get-go, and I didn't know it. I just thought I liked food. And in my TEDx talk, I reenact garbage eating, which is binge eating, throwing out the remains when I can't fit any more in my tummy, and then later going out and going and digging out those cookies that I knew were in there because I had a little bit more room in my tummy. Mm-hmm. So that's garbage eating. And I did that because I was a binge eater. So growing up, food was a big obsession for me. When I came to adolescence, I gained weight. And by age 21, I was 50 pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. And I hated my fat, Allison. I had a roll in my tummy that I would scrunch up in my hands. And imagine cutting off, like you cut fat off the side of a steak. I thought about getting a disease, like where I'd automatically lose weight because I couldn't stop eating. Like I was an eater. I even thought about like going very briefly. I thought about joining the army so I'd be forced to exercise at boot camp because I hated to exercise. So it was a big obsession for me. Yeah. I had like 5 different sizes of pants in my closet because I never knew what size I was going to be. So I was obsessed with food and I was a yo-yo dieter. So I was like up 20, down 10, up 30. I was all over the place with my weight. And it was really frustrating, especially because, of course, I tried diets and I killed myself with exercise. But I couldn't, you know, I wasn't stupid. I knew what to eat, but I couldn't follow through on what I knew. And that was the kicker for me. So fast forward, I met somebody who became my mentor and he had been obese and he really overcame it through emotional and spiritual means. And what happened was he mentored me and showed me how to heal from the inside out. And that's what happened. And I was able to keep the weight off ongoing, which is the hardest part. We can all diet, you know. Yeah. Y'all know how to diet, and I call it my new diet syndrome. It's like for a couple of weeks, you're like, woo, I'm doing
all motivated. Everything's going well. This is easy.
Totally.
This, right? Yeah.
And then it gets really hard. It's like a total slog, and you're crawling the walls, and you just have to eat something yummy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that's the first bite that takes you right down the rabbit hole again. So that's how it was for me. So keeping it off, you know, and being able to long-term live in a thin body, that's a whole nother ball game. And that's what I'm very blessed now through Heal Your Hunger to show other people how to do. And it's, you know, I live a really good life. I have the same size pants, you know, yeah, maybe give or take one size. Sometimes, you know, my weight fluctuates a little bit, but overall, I just have a peacefulness around food, and I have a system that I show women so that they can, too, like get off the roller coaster ride with dieting and also binge eating and start to feel more grounded and peaceful around food.
Understand. Yeah. I think the struggle is real for a lot of people, you know, and as you were talking and sharing your story and this whole idea that the first 2 weeks. It's easy. You're motivated. It's always easy to be motivated when everything goes well, right? But yeah. I think the real test of our motivation and our commitment comes when life gets in the way. And it's never a question of if, it's always a question of when. And when I was working in fitness full time, I mean, that's what my background is. I saw this all the time with new clients wanting to start a workout program. The first month is probably like, you know, yeah, I've done it. This is great. This is going to be awesome. And then life gets in the way and they miss a week. They have to reschedule. Like, I mean, life gets busy at home. They end up having a personal crisis of some kind. And then they just get off the wagon. And really, and I'm not making anybody wrong for that, because it's just, that's life. You know, that just
it's happens. Life and it's human nature.
Right, exactly. And we're human beings and that's what's going to happen. But I think really where the work starts is how we decide that we're going to, how are we going to show up even when things aren't going well? Right?
Yeah.
That is really, to me, a test of not just how committed you are, but that's your opportunity for growth.
Totally. And I call it your until. So everybody I talk to has an until. I was doing great until, you know, with COVID, it was like, I was doing great until COVID hit. Then I fell down. It's like, I was doing great till my mother died. I was doing great till I lost my job. There's always an until. And that's why just holding on and hoping for the best is not a strategy. Because the until will always happen.
So well, it's just like waiting until you're ready. It's like you're getting ready to get ready, right? It's like, it's that kind of thing too. Or you're busy being busy. You know, there's just always like a reason why you are where you are. Because the truth of the matter is, and I really don't want to sound harsh when I say this, but I'm a straight shooter, so I'm going to say it anyway, is if you knew what to do, you'd be doing it already.
Amen.
And this is where, you know, at some point, and again, this is going to sound harsh, but at some point, you know, if you just choose to stay where you are, that's a choice too. You know, you can choose to struggle to some degree. And there may be people listening thinking, well, that's not really fair. But, you know, at some point, if what you're doing isn't working, that's where you need to either get a coach or look for somebody or something that's going to help you figure it out.
Yeah, take action. I mean, the only, you know, the big chasm between dreaming and actually manifesting is action.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. And that absolutely has to happen. But I want to give a caveat to that, because so many people who are relating to what I'm saying in my experience will feel like, yeah, but I've taken lots of action. Like I've done the diet, I've done the exercise, I've done these things, and still I fall down. So I want to say, you know, there's a certain sector of people who are emotional eaters or even food addicts. And if that's you, you can't do it. Like, you will fall down for sure, unless you have a plan that addresses emotional eating specifically.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's where we fall down is like, oh, I'm going to take this one thing. It won't matter. You know, and we think we do it just because we like food, but it's really because we have an emotional connection to food much more than we realize.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And look, food is supposed to be enjoyed. You know, look at cultures around the world where food becomes kind of the center of what you do. It's like, look at how the Italians live and the French live and all that. It's food is an experience. And so food is not meant to be avoided. Right? It's not the bad guy, right?
No, I love food. I still love food. Food's
totally
great.
Same. But and food doesn't have morals either. Like, there are like, well, I was bad and I ate this and I'm going to eat this because it's good for me. It's like, I think we've got stories around that too.
No question about it. You know, and that's diet culture. Diet culture is, totally. People are always saying, can I eat this? Can I eat that? Yeah. I'm like, you can eat any goddamn thing you want to eat.
That's right. Totally. Totally.
There is.
Right?
I'm not the food police.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what they're really asking is, you know, is this going to be okay for me? And that's where we have to turn away from looking outside ourselves for the answers.
Yeah.
You know, can I eat this? Can I eat that? What's okay? You know, what am I allowed? Like, that's all diet talk.
Yes.
Okay. Diet speak. And what I'm about is helping people clear away the emotional dependence on food that compels them to eat the things they know don't serve their health.
Yeah.
You know, and so go ahead and, you know, let's do the work to deal with our emotional dependence on food, because emotional eating is basically eating to feel better.
Yep.
Like eating to feel better. Like that's the most technical you need to get with it. We eat to feel better. And you know, one step further is we eat to not feel bad.
Yes, agree.
So yeah, if
to
we
cover
don't
something up, like a Band-Aid, right?
Totally.
It's like yeah.
Yeah. We're numbing
yep.
food. So that's why we typically don't reach for celery and carrots. We're reaching for sugar. We're reaching for carby, snacky foods because they will make us feel better.
Right?
Totally. I mean, it doesn't stop at food. Why stop at one addiction?
Yeah, right?
If it's worth doing.
It's really about, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's really about, this is going to keep me from feeling something that's uncomfortable for me. Because as human beings, we don't like to do that because we don't feel like we're in control.
So let me share the PEP test with you and your listeners, because this is a quick way for people to start checking in with themselves. Because there may be people who are like me where they're like, I'm not an emotional eater. I'm just like food. But, you know, you can't unhear this information. So I'm going to share the PEP test, which is a way to check in with yourself when you're going to the refrigerator yet again. Like I would in an evening, I'd wander into the kitchen and open the fridge like 3 or 4 times. As if some elf was going to put something else in there. I was like, what will satisfy me? And of course, nothing ever satisfied me. But what I want people to do is take the PEP test when they find themselves wandering into the kitchen. So PEP is an acronym. The first P stands for painkiller. All right. Mm-hmm. Because we eat to kill pain. It is an anesthetic. Like it basically dulls the edges of life. And pain can come in so many packages. It can come in a bill we didn't expect. It can come in a relationship that's on the rocks. It can come in a job change or a dysregulated kid. There's so much pain to go around. So we use food to dull the edges of the pain. The E in PEP stands for escape. And we're trying to actually escape what's between our ears. Because as emotional eaters, we spend a lot of time overthinking.
Yeah,
we're not just overeaters.
Overanalyzing, overstressing.
Oh, my God. I call it awfulizing, you know, worst case scenarios. So we're actually trying to chill out and get out of our own heads, which are often a scary place to hang out. So when I would get my carbs and my sugar and sit in front of my favorite bingeable TV show, I was tuning out, you know, things that were hard to hear inside my own brain. You probably, I don't know, you look younger than me, but you might remember the Calgon commercial. Calgon, take me away.
Totally, 100%.
100%. That's what food, that's what we're like, you know, cereal, take me away, you know, bread, take me away. And so that's what we're looking for, is escape our own busy minds. And the last P in PEP stands for punishment.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
And this is a little counterintuitive because we definitely use food as a form of as a reward. Yeah. Like, so we don't think of it as a we don't say, "Oh, what can I eat to punish myself?" We don't say that because we're not conscious of that. But if you play out the binge, when you eat things that don't make you feel good, when you overdo it. So, of course, we're eating things that we typically can't control the amounts of. I mean, I eat one bowl of cereal with all the best intentions. But it ended up as two or three. Same with ice cream or, you know, chips, one handful of chips. Forget about it, you know. And so what we're actually doing when we end up overeating is we feel sick. We feel disgusted. We are like, I'm not going out tomorrow with my girlfriends for brunch. I'm bloated. I'm going to do a little sheet therapy and be under the covers. And the thing is, that is not a reward. That is a punishment. And we use food as a form of punishment. Because as overeaters, we're also overfeelers, and we feel guilty about everything. It's like, well, the guilt.
You feel responsible for everything. You're carrying the weight of whatever you're dealing with. You know,
it's always our fault. Well, the guilty party still, please stand up. It's us. Like, we must have done it, you know? And so that gets the best of us too. So again, the pep test is using food as a painkiller, as an escape, and as a punishment. So I give that to people just to start tuning in a little bit more to the emotional connection that we have to food that we're typically not aware of because we're so obsessed with the chocolate or the thing we're about to eat.
Well, and I'd also just want to point out that for, you know, since you so beautifully outlined that, like for the people who are stress eaters, it's the people who just feel responsible. They just take on everything and feel like, you know, a lot of it to me, and I'll just offer this as a supplement to what you said, is it's coming from a place in us that isn't complete. It's coming from a place in us that feels inadequate, like we're not good enough. Like somewhere along the line, we got passed over and maybe we're not worthy, right? And so it's to your point, it's like then it's easy to eat because we get that immediate gratification. Like we immediately feel better. We get because the food tastes good and we don't want to just stop after a bite, you know?
Yes. And you totally nailed it, Allison. And the thing is, I'm going to share with you the anatomy of the emotional eater, which is play on words, but it's 24 personality traits that make up the emotional eater's personality. And this has nothing to do with food, but everything to do with how we end up eating or overeating. And the top trait is people pleasing. Okay.
Surprising at all.
Right? So people pleasing is such a problem for emotional eaters more than the average woman. I know it's a problem for a lot of us, but for emotional eaters specifically, because we just to your point, we don't feel complete. Right? There's a part of us that feels like we need to get our validation from outside of ourselves. Will you approve of me? Will you validate me, please? And so we're running ourselves ragged. We're on the hamster wheel, doing the extra project, staying up late to bake the brownies. It's like we're always on the go, trying to fill that unworthy place, trying to find the validation from outside of ourselves. And what ends up happening and why it's related to food is we exhaust ourselves. But not only that, you know, because we're burning the candle at both ends, but we're also pissed off because nobody is ever as happy or pleased as we plan on them being. We're like looking for the atta girls. Sometimes they don't come at all. And then we're like, what the hell? I just spent all my time, you know, doing this and nobody's even appreciating it. So that's how it turns into the I deserve it binge. You know, they're not going to appreciate me. I'll reward myself. Yeah. But that's an example of how our personality can get us into trouble because we're always looking at the diet. What's the diet? What should I eat? What can I eat? No, let's look at the living problem, not the eating problem, because that's where we're going to find solutions.
Yeah, exactly. I love how you said that. I don't think I could have said any better. What in your view then, in the work that you do with your clients, what are some of the things that people come to you with? I would imagine when people come to you, they probably tried things that haven't worked.
I mean, this is God, yes.
the time they get to you. So
yeah.
You notice like a commonality, a common thread between, you know, I mean, I realize that, you know, you've outlined a lot of the reasons and a lot of like what makes up the culprit of what emotional eating can do. But I would bet that you probably see some common threads in the people that come to you.
Yeah. I mean, that the anatomy of emotional eater, it's as I said, 24 personality traits. They're in my book. If somebody wants to know all 24, we don't have time for now. But the thing is, people come to me in all different shapes and sizes. You don't have to be overweight to be an emotional eater. I mean, you can be super tight and controlling and constricted around food and still be an emotional eater. I always say, if you have to control it, it's already out of control. So people who are in tight control, 100%. Yeah, they're already
out of control. I could say the same thing about exercise. It's the same way for people who over-exercise.
Yeah, because it's fear-driven. It's
totally.
Fear-driven.
100%. You know? And it's the one thing they can control. I'm just going to
do
this. I'm going to do this more. I'm going to do it longer. And I can control that. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because inside we don't have faith it's all going to work out, you know? And so we're running ourselves ragged, you know, get all our ducks in a row. So that's very important for people to know is the size doesn't matter. You know, size doesn't matter when it comes to emotional eating. I also would say that many people come to me after they become food addicted. So I have a quiz on my website, which will tell somebody if they're an emotional eater or a food addict or somewhere in between. And it's really a spectrum, Allison. And it's a spectrum that's qualified by two things primarily. One is a level of control that somebody has. Like, do I have the control to like pull back? If I've, you know, gone on a cruise, ate too much, gained 5 pounds, I come home, I'm back on the treadmill, I'm cutting out sweets. That's somebody with a good amount of control. They can lose those 5 pounds pretty easily. So control. And the other thing is consequences. To what extent is this really robbing somebody of their happiness, of their health? And so control and consequences is what determines where you are on the emotional eating spectrum that I have on my website. And on the high end of the spectrum is where I lived, of course, and that's more food addiction. And that's somebody with very little control. So if I went on that cruise and I prepaid and I ate everything and I gained 5 pounds, I'd come home and be dogging myself for having blown it. And then I'm going to blow it for another 2 months, you know, and those 5 pounds turns into 15 pounds. And so that's me with very little control. And if you do that long enough, you know, I generally work with women in the, you know, 40s to 70s, you know, you do that long enough, your body will hate you and you will have joint pain because we're of course often addicted to sugar, joint pain, you know, pre-diabetes, diabetes, gut issues. We stopped having sex because we don't want to be touched. You know, we feel too gross in our bodies. We're wearing black stretchy yoga pants everywhere. That's somebody on the higher end of the spectrum. And so just taking that quiz can help somebody determine where they are. But those are typically the ones who are, you know, saying uncle, like something's got to change.
Yeah.
And they're not coming to me because they want to fit in their bikini. They want the insanity to stop. Like they want to stop being
so. They want the noise just to shut down. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I get that. So last question before we wrap up. Why do you think, and I realize there are probably a lot of answers to this, but I'm thinking about the person out there who maybe is at the end of their rope or the person who's maybe tried, you know, anything and everything. And maybe they just think, you know what, this is just who I am. I'm just wondering if you could offer like a few tips, a couple pieces of advice, just something that I feel like people could get an easy win today.
Absolutely. What I would recommend to people is that they start their morning with some kind of, I call it a morning routine. I actually call it putting money in your spiritual bank account.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Almost like a gratitude, like a gratitude practice or something.
Gratitude practice, meditation, breathing, taking a walk in nature. But don't get on your phone. Don't get on your computer. Give yourself a sacred bubble of self-care, you know, where you can start nourishing yourself at the soul level. It's not food we're really hungry for. We're starving for connection. We're starving for community. I do all my programs in community because emotional eaters need each other.
Yep, to totally, 100%.
You know, but that
I feel like we need that more than ever since the pandemic too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So we need to put money in our spiritual bank account, and that will hold us over. So a lot of times, the late afternoon is our hardest time. That's when we have an afternoon slump. That's when we're looking around for chocolate or coffee.
Yeah.
And so we need to put our money in our spiritual bank account first thing. Make the investment right at the beginning of the day. You can take withdrawals throughout the day. But if you don't put anything in there first thing in the morning, you got nothing to take out.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the red. Yeah. And that's where the coffee, that's where the, you know, pot gummies, that's where the shopping
totally.
Online.
The chip.
And the eating.
No, the handful of trail mix, whatever it is at the end of the day. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, it's one thing if it's just a bite, but usually that's not what it ends up being.
Nope. Not when we're reaching for it as we're passing through the kitchen, not when it's in our hands, getting our hands all salty and snacky. It's like those snacky foods, they add up fast.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. How can people connect with you? Maybe, you know, take advantage of this quiz that you mentioned, like, you know, tell us how people can connect with you.
Yeah, the best way is through my website, which is healyourhunger.com, H-E-A-L, healyourhunger.com. The quiz is right there on the homepage. You can also watch my TEDx talk there, as well as there's a link for my book as well.
Okay, fabulous. What's the name of your book?
It's called Heal Your Hunger, Seven Steps to End Emotional Eating Now.
Love it. Love it. Thanks so much for sharing your guidance with my audience. It was really, really insightful. And I know that people will get a lot of value from it.
Thanks so much for having me, Allison, for your amazing work.
Fantastic. So, all right, folks out there listening, if this episode really spoke to you, you know what to do. I would really encourage you to download and save it and maybe listen to it on repeat if you feel like this is the guidance that you feel that you need to help you get through your day or whatever struggle you're dealing with. And on that note, if you know someone in your world who struggles with emotional eating, please feel free to copy the link to this episode and send it to them as a free gift from me. You're welcome to connect with me on my site. My website is www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L. And just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and write to me, and we will be happy to take care of it for you. This is one of the reasons why, I got to be honest, doing my shows is one of my most favorite things in my business. It's because we built such an amazing audience and why we're heard all over the world and why I get messages from you every week saying that was exactly what I needed to hear because that's why we're here. So that's what I got for you this week, folks, on the podcast, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You're one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.